Feel better.
Good afternoon. I call the meeting of the Education Finance Committee to order. We have a quorum. We also have Representative Perez Vega attending virtually. And with that, members, let's see here. Representative Vernick, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes. And I'd like to move the minutes.
Would you like to, Representative Vernick moves the minutes for?
March 27th?
April 1st.
April 1st. Thank you. Sorry.
Are there any questions on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The minutes for April 1st are adopted. Members, we have a busy agenda today. When testifiers come up, I'd like them to try to keep to the 2 minutes so we can get through it and still have some discussion. And with that, we have House File 966 from Representative Berg up before us first. And while Representative Berg is coming up. 1966. Oh, I said it the wrong way. While Representative Berg is coming up, I will move House File 1966 before us, the committee today, for possible inclusion in a later education bill. Representative Berg, welcome to the back to the Education Finance Committee. Would you like to start on your bill, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This is my favorite bill to present, as Representative Mueller knows. It's just an honor to be able to keep coming back to talk about it, and we're going to give a lot of time to our amazing testifiers. But I'm excited to present to you House File 1966, which would appropriate $55,000 each year to the Minnesota Association of Alternative Programs, or MAP-STARS program. For those of you not familiar with this program or alternative education, I'm excited for you to hear from our student and their advisor today. Alternative programs help students who are at risk of not graduating. These students are usually deficient in academic skills and behind in credits. The students may be homeless, have suffered physical, emotional, or sexual abuse, or are pregnant, have been bullied, have problems with substance abuse, and sometimes have limited English proficiency. Alternative programs give them an option to pursue graduation with additional support and guidance. Since 1993, the MAP-STARS program has provided students with comprehensive programming designed to unlock student talent and develop professional skills. The small amount of funding in this bill goes a long way. It provides scholarships to students to cover the cost of their attendance at the MAP-STARS events, including 2 leadership conferences, individual projects, and team competition events. With me today are Kristen Toole, one of our MAP-STAR co-chairs from the Fergus Falls Area Learning Center, and Carl Bauer, a MAP-STARS officer. So I will turn my time over to them.
Thank you. Go ahead, the first testifier. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, committee members. My name is Kristen Toole. I am a MAP-STARS co-chair along with Patty Hosh. Previously, I was a MAP-STARS advisor for 22 years. As Representative Berg stated, MAP-STARS is a program for students enrolled in alternative education settings to grow personally and professionally, providing leadership and learning opportunities. MAP-STARS offers 3 statewide events for alternative schools in Minnesota: Fall Leadership Conference, Legislative Day, and a Spring Events Conference. In addition, STARS offers 1 training for elected student officers, and then with the previous grant funding has offered a specific leadership training for elected officers and regional representatives. MAP-STARS offers 2 specific curricula for the development of a STARS program: the chapter manual and the spring conference events manual. The chapter manual has everything needed to establish a school's STARS chapter, from the election of officers to how to run a meeting using Robert's Rules of Order. The Spring Events Manual is a complete curriculum to prepare students to participate in the competitive Spring Events Conference. Students have the choice to participate in 16 individual and team events around the development of career and life skills: employment interview, public speaking, human relations decision making, parent decision making, entrepreneurship, and life smarts, just to name a few. I have had employers in Fergus Falls remark, I had one of your MapStar students interview for a position today. I could tell right away it was one of your students. They were prepared, had a thought-out response to each question, and displayed confidence. Through their experiences in MapStars, students discover and gain confidence in their abilities to perform and to achieve. MapStars is also a source of pride for alternative education programs, leaving a positive impact on a school's culture and climate. The funding in this bill helps MapStars provide quality programming and reduce barriers to participation in STARS events through financial assistance. Funds are used in three major ways. One, to enhance existing programming. Two, to provide additional leadership training opportunities to all MAP regions in Minnesota. And three, to reduce the cost to participate in events. As a result, the STARS leadership team has been a part of a two-year advisory with the Minnesota Department of Education in which their voices have been valued and heard. MAP is a volunteer-run organization. STARS is funded through school membership dues and registration event fees. We receive no other financial support from the state. This appropriation of $55,000 helps us improve and make STARS accessible to students enrolled in alternative education programs in Minnesota, offering opportunities they wouldn't otherwise have access to. With me is Carl, one of our MapStars officers. He's going to talk a little bit about his experience and what MapStars has provided for him.
Right. Thank you. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, everyone. My name is Carl Bauer, and I am an 18-year-old senior at the Fergus Falls ALC. Last fall, I was elected by my peers to become a state officer for MapStars, a student leadership organization dedicated to alternative education students. I have now been in this program for 3 years, and I am here with you all today to share the importance of continued funding for this program. Throughout middle school, as well as my freshman year, I struggled in traditional schooling, facing challenges such as a troublesome home life and difficulty with social interaction. These issues created a lack of motivation, making it hard to succeed academically. I just wasn't learning the way I knew I could, and I began to feel stuck, with no clear path forward. However, transferring to the ALC was the turning point I desperately needed in my life. It gave me the support and structure that helped me finally find my own path to success. At the ALC, I was able to build stronger connections with my teachers, who provided individual attention in a smaller, more focused environment, allowing me to focus on my education in a way that just wasn't possible with traditional schooling. ALCs like mine understand that every student has unique needs and provide the support necessary for each of them to succeed. When we talk about students falling through the cracks, ALCs are the net that catches them. While at the ALC, I was fortunate to become a part of MapStars. This program teaches us decision-making processes, how to interview for a job, skills for parenting, and plan for our futures. And it was because of these activities that I was able to become a manager at my job, a more competent parent to my 3-year-old son, and a capable speaker that earned me the position of MapStars State Officer. Our acronym stands for Success, Teamwork, Achievement, Recognition, and Self-Esteem. These values are central to the mission of our organization. MapStars aims to instill these qualities in all of its members, and it has done exactly that for myself and countless other students within Minnesota ALCs. Supporting this bill means supporting equity in education. Funding provided by the bill is crucial for removing financial barriers for schools, ensuring that cost is not a limiting factor in participation. The funding would reduce costs for essential expenses such as food, lodging, and especially transportation, which are all critical costs that allow schools to participate. This financial support allows students across Minnesota to come together for leadership events where they can showcase their skills and learn from each other. This is a vital opportunity for personal development and strengthens the community of alternative education students. In short, Supporting this bill means investing in the future of students in alternative ed across Minnesota. MapStars has helped me turn my life around, and it continues to provide countless others with the tools they need to succeed. This is why we are asking you for your continued support, so that this program can continue to empower students and provide them with the opportunities they deserve. I thank you greatly for your time.
Thank you so much, and you're a very good spokesperson for MapStars.
Thank you.
We have one more testifier that signed up to testify, so if somebody can make just some quick room for him and just move over. Please, as you come up, when you sit down, state your name for the record and proceed, and then we'll go to member questions.
Hello, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Kalik Rogers, Executive Director of Catalyst for Systems Change. So as a person who has lived experience with homelessness, with a family member who is chemically dependent, and a graduate of Minnesota Alternative Schools, Gordon Parks High School to be specific, I'm here to explain why $55,000 is a great investment into Minnesota both today and tomorrow. So we seek out a recommendation as practical and research-based solutions. Like a law that we encourage the legislature to adopt that helps young people learn construction trade skills as they build affordable housing for low-income families in Minnesota. This was also a bill that passed that had strong bipartisan support. Like a provision that you all will have the chance to vote on. It's an idea that came and that was developed by young people, specifically on overdose recognition, training and education within public schools. Also, you know, this is a request that MAP that builds on the very strong research-based approach of how encouraging an asset-based approach to young people. For example, what are their skills, talents, and interests? And how can we encourage and assist them to develop those? This is what the Minnesota-based Search Institute found. This is what the University of Minnesota professor Andrew Furku concluded. This is what CSC based our work on. There's an approach that builds on deficits. What's wrong with these young people and their families? How can we fix them via, you know, more social workers or more counselors? It's neither either or, but both approaches have value. But one of the characteristics of successful adults, especially those coming from low-income families, is that there is someone that did what MapStar program does. It helps young people identify their strengths. It helps them identify their interests and to develop them. And we want to make sure and clear that we understand is how can we mentor them to show that despite the many challenges that they may face, that success is possible. That's why MapStars program, this is what MapStars program does, and that's why we're here to seek this very small amount of $55,000. And we encourage you and urge you to approve this request. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. With that, members, I think we'll go to member questions at the table or comments. Not seeing any. I'll put in a comment. I think it's a wonderful program that's been proven to be successful, and I'm looking forward to seeing you up here more often. And with that, Representative Berg, would you like to have a closing?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members. You know, the alternative high school is how my youngest son graduated. He was what I call a non-traditional learner, very bright, similar to your story, very bright, but he just wasn't learning in the same way the other kids in his classroom were learning, and it created a lot of self-esteem issues and kind of, you spoke a little bit about just kind of giving up. But it just takes that special teacher at an alternative high school to give them a little extra attention, and I'm proud to say that he did in fact graduate and now has a pretty good chance at life. And so I also just want to say, incredible speaker. He's got his cards over here, and they're highlighted in different colors and just amazing. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you, sir, and I hope you consider this in your budget.
Thank you, Representative Berg. With that, I'll lay over House File 1966 for possible inclusion in an education bill. Next up, we have House File 54, Representative Spencer Mura. Once you get settled, would you like to move House File 54 before the committee for a possible inclusion in an education bill?
Thank you, Chair Joachim. Yes, I will move House File 54 before the committee.
Thank you. With that, go ahead and start your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Joachim, Chair Krisha, and committee members. Happy to be before you today to talk about House File 54, which would fund the Minnesota Youth Council. So back in 2013, the Minnesota legislature did a very smart thing by investing in Youth Voice to ensure that we have young people who can speak to us about legislative issues, something I know that everyone on this community very much appreciates. I know that I see all of our ears and eyes perk up whenever we have a student voice on this committee, because we know that we cannot make decisions that affect young people every day without including those voices in their decisions. So in 2013, the legislature created the Minnesota Youth Council, a council of 36 young people from across the state, from every congressional district, to come and advise us and the governor about legislative issues. But at the time, they did not follow that up with the necessary funding to make sure that the council could run, in effect, creating an unfunded mandate, which is something I know that none of us want to be responsible for. So we're coming before you today to ask you to invest in this statewide program to ensure that we can keep young people advising us on the most important issues. I want to turn it over to my testifiers, but first I will just say that, you know, we know that this is a tight budget year, but I think that this is a very worthy investment, because we know that when we invest in having young people at the table as we make decisions, whether it's decisions about funding, cell phones in classrooms, school discipline, teacher credentials, all of those decisions are made better when we have young people at the table. And with that, I will turn it over to my testifier. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Chair Krisha, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jim Davney. I have the opportunity to be the director of the Minnesota Alliance with Youth, which is the host organization for the Minnesota Youth Council. I also want to thank Representative Spencer Mura for her ongoing support for Youth Voice and the Minnesota Youth Council. The Alliance uses service as a key strategy in our work developing leaders who foster young people's individual assets, honor their voices, and prepare them to reach their goals. Core to that is our stewardship of the Minnesota Youth Council. As Representative Spencer Mura stated, the Youth Council was created by the legislature in 2013 and is housed at the Alliance. By statute, the Youth Council is a representative body of youth 13 to 19 years of age, with four representatives from each of Minnesota's eight congressional districts and four selected at large. The values of the Youth Council include youth voice, authentic relationships, youth in service, and access for all youth. Youth apply to be part of the MYC and are interviewed and selected by a panel of staff, agency and community partners, and ongoing youth representatives, with a priority placed on ensuring that the council reflects the Minnesota student body, varied grade levels, school type, and geography. The council is tasked in statute to advise the legislature and the governor on issues of interest to youth. The representatives themselves are active in their schools and communities as both members of the Youth Council and as individuals. Much of the work of the council is done in committee, much like you and the legislature do. The council currently has three committees: policy research, project and policy implementation, and community affairs and media engagement. We are appreciative of the state partners who we work with, including the Department of Education, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the Children's Cabinet, and the Department of Youth, Children, Youth, and Families. I'm sorry, I'm still getting used to the name of that one. The council meets monthly, usually in a hybrid format, but also holds retreats several times a year in person. Members of the council receive a stipend to recognize the value of their work and reimbursement for transportation costs, so that that does not present a barrier to participation of any of the participants. We are grateful for the support that the 2024 legislature provided, We're here today to request the state continue that funding with an additional appropriation this year. While we've had some success in raising funds from foundations and corporations, it has not been enough to fully support the council. We believe that as a creation of the state, with a responsibility to the state, we ask that the state continue to support the council financially. Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and members.
Thank you. I know we have another two different students to testify, so if you want to move to the side. The other one's remote. Never mind. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, chairs and committee members. My name is Julia Rosenman, and I am a sophomore at Breck School and a 5th District representative on the Minnesota Youth Council. I'm here today to testify in support of continued funding for the Minnesota Youth Council. And first, I'd like to just thank you for your current legislative support of the MYC. I want to start off by briefly telling you why I wanted to be on the Minnesota Youth Council. For the last 4 years, I have been working to completely update and modernize our existing system of education by implementing real-world learning assignments and lesson plans in various elementary, middle, and high school classes. This work will result in students learning about dozens of different careers and career paths before graduation, increasing the chances that they find career passions, ensuring that they are systematically taught to have professional skills and a higher degree of confidence before graduation, and leveling up societal productivity, all at almost no cost to schools. While my goal of improving the education that every student in every school receives might seem lofty, and it is, I'm making good progress on it. And similar to how I'm passionate about education, each of the council's 36 members, who are from all across the state, have various priorities that they're passionate about that are related to our youth. Priorities such as uplifting youth voices and substance abuse prevention. And the Minnesota Youth Council gives us the important tools that we need to be able to turn these priorities into positive changes for the youth of our state. Personally, the MYC has been incredibly helpful as it's given me the tools to understand how to take the work that I'm doing in education and to scale it through policy creation and implementation. And I cannot overstate how hard the council and staff work to have the most positive impact possible on the youth in our state. By supporting this bill, which funds the MYC, you are ensuring that a driven and capable group of young people are gaining the skills necessary to effectively represent all of Minnesota's 1.3 million youth, and allowing the council to continue to make positive change throughout our state. Thank you, chairs and committee members, for allowing me to testify today in support of further funding for the MYC.
Thank you. And with that, we have another student from Janesville Waldorf Pemberton High School that is testifying remotely. Once you get on the screen, go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, I think I'm on the screen.
Yes, you are.
Hello, my name is Alexander Hanks, and I will be entering my third year on the Minnesota Youth Council. I am a junior at Janesville Waldorf Pemberton High School. The chances are you haven't heard of Janesville, Minnesota. Janesville is one of the many rural 2,000-person towns in greater Minnesota. Many of these towns are largely forgotten, and I witness this firsthand every day. But by working on the Minnesota Youth Council, with the support that the legislature has already given us, I am finally able to give a voice to the communities that I have witnessed be lost in the system in a way that I have never been able to do before. The Minnesota Youth Council has allowed me access to use my voice and the voices of all the other representatives from all the other rural districts to make sure that we are heard in the same way that kids from the metro are heard. Because so often, that is not the case. All across greater Minnesota, there are 2,000-person towns with youth who are being forgotten by funding, by teaching methods, all of it. And by working on the Minnesota Youth Council, I have personally been able to ensure that towns like mine are not forgotten. Currently, I am working on being able to update the health standards in Minnesota, because in towns like mine, we are still using abstinence only. In towns like mine, we are still not talking about queer health care. And the Minnesota Youth Council has allowed me to actively make change in an irreparable way. And I would not be able to do this without the council. And while the legislature has been giving us immense support, it has been great. And it cannot stop now. Because this council, the Minnesota Youth Council, assures that voices are given to the voiceless, like the countless children in the 2,000-person towns that you have never heard of before and you will never meet. But by passing this bill, we are able to ensure that their voices are heard. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. With that, there's no other members from the public that signed up to testify, so we'll bring it to the table for questions. Members? Representative Ream.
Thank you, Chair Iwaki, and thank you, Representative Sam Sensor-Mura, for bringing this bill forward. Sounds like really great work, and I really appreciate that testifying here today. I have a question about how you make sure that, you know, different socioeconomic communities are represented. How do you make sure that everyone's represented? Is there a way that you interview people, or how do you ensure that?
Go ahead, Mr. Daphne.
Chair Youakim, thank you. Chair Representative Green, thank you for the question. We really do put a lot of effort in our outreach, partnering with other organizations, partnering with the Social Studies Teachers Association, the Minnesota Council for the Social Studies, to have them spread it out through schools, partnering with the Future Farmers of America so we can reach more deeply into the rural parts of the state to make sure that we're getting those voices. And then we have a pretty rigorous interview and selection process, and really do try to make sure that we get the young person from the 2,000 population town, as well as a student from Minneapolis, as well as different schools. Julia attends a private school, Alex a small public school. We also have students from charter schools. We really try to make sure that there's a breadth of voices, and that is not only our decision as the adults in the room, but that's what the youth have asked for as well.
Thank you, Representative Reem. Follow up?
No, thank you.
Members, any other questions? Representative Quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And former Rep. Devney, you were around when this started. Mm-hmm. Can you enlighten us on some of the evolution and how it's developed and progressed?
Mr. Devney.
Chair Youakim, Representative Quam, what I've seen in particularly the last few years is the legislature and the executive branch, because the statute directs the Youth Council to work with both, more open and more affirmative in seeking youth voice. So involvement, the legislature last year under Chair Youakim's leadership placed the Youth Council at the table for the review of academic standards on an ongoing basis, so that the youth who are served by the state's academic standards have youth voice involved in the creation of those academic standards. That's been a fairly new evolution, and I think a positive one. I look for structural impact, and that's a place where the Youth Council can have structural impact, as well as the work they do in meeting with their legislators and both developing their confidence and comfort in that, as well as engaging the members of this committee and others in the interests they have and the policy positions they're interested in.
Representative Quam, follow up? Any other members? With that, Representative Sensor-Mura, close.
Yeah, thank you, members. I just want to add by saying, you know, Representative Daphne spoke a little bit about the different ways that legislators can be involved with the Youth Council. You know, we have written them into statute to be members of different working groups. If the members from your congressional district should have reached out to you about different issues. But I would really encourage all legislators to meet with these young people around any bill that you're working on, I think especially any bill that is touching the K-12 space. You know, I know that we all look out every committee meeting and see the faces in the crowd and see the folks that are usually here representing, you know, the various stakeholder groups that are involved with our schools and our education system. And you know, because we meet during the day and kids are at school, we know that those are a really important constituency that is often not here and not at the table. So I believe we need to do everything we can to bring them to the table, whether that's through taking things like remote testimony, reaching out to the Youth Council, and also funding this important work. I just also want to say that, you know, we know that Youth Voice and youth across our state are not a monolith, as represented by our various testifiers here today. We've had youth come from the Youth Council and submit letters or give testimony, you know, representing different sides of a debate, right? I think back to the debates that we were having last year around legislation regarding school resource officers. And we had two different letters, actually, that came from the Youth Council, one in support of the legislation that was moving forward and one against it, right? And so recognizing and uplifting the fact that youth across our state have different opinions and wanting to bring all of those to the table through this work. So thank you. Hope that you all consider this bill for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill.
Thank you, Representative Sensenmura. With that, Representative Sensenmura renews her motion that House File 54 be laid over for possible inclusion in an education bill. Next up, we have Representative Green with House File 2043. Welcome to your committee. Once you get settled, would you like to move House File 2043 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion in an education bill? Go ahead and make your motion.
I would like to move House File 2043 for possible inclusion in the Education Omnibus Bill.
Thank you, members. We have House File 2043 before us. Go ahead, Representative Green, and start your presentation.
Thank you so much, Chair Joachim and Chair Carisha. We've already heard some attendance-related legislation carried by Rep. Keeler and Bakeberg in this committee, and I just want to thank them for the work that they've done and the student attendance working group that's been working on attendance well before my election, which was in November, but sometimes feels like maybe a couple years ago. But I'm here to talk about House File 2043, and really this is an attendance bill that is an extension of that work that's already started. So we have nearly 1 million students in Minnesota, and 1 in 4 are chronically absent. And we know that the more kids are in school, the better outcomes they will have. Improved academic performance, increased motivation, engagement, better social development, learning how to read, their own well-being. And this really follows them into adulthood. So understanding the why behind student absenteeism is deeply complex. We've had some conversations about that in this committee too. And they call for a variety of really intentional solutions. It's gonna look different for every kid, and it's gonna look different for every school and every teacher and every interaction. It's just the beauty of having 1 million kids that are all very complex and important. So one of the things, my background is in public relations and marketing, so that's how I look at, I approach this bill. I believe that choosing how we respond is really critical to this work, and that's what this bill is about. It's one of the ways that we can respond. So 2043 is a statewide marketing campaign to start building greater understanding for the public on why strong school attendance is important for kids. It's really teaching and reminding and educating the value of what a consistent learning experience is for all kids and how important that is. And it also lets kids know that we see them, that we care, and that we are paying attention to them. Public awareness campaigns are really powerful tools. By spreading a message, they motivate action. And trusting the source is a key piece of this. Another state, Rhode Island, has done a lot of work in the attendance space. In 1 year, and public awareness campaign is part of that, but a big part of it, they were able to drop attendance rates by 4.2%. So that means 240,000 fewer absences. That's over 1 million hours of instruction at only 4%. So targeted strategies to support a statewide campaign have already started with a lot of conversations and willing partners. And we have a commitment from the governor's office to get engaged as well. And I just love the thought of having attendance ambassadors all over our state in every corner and everyone who cares about kids and works within education. So with that, I'm gonna pass it to our testifiers.
Go ahead. I have Terrell Brum first. Go ahead, state your name for the record and proceed.
Yes, Terrell Brum, and I'm with the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Twin Cities. And I want to thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Green, and members of the Education and Finance Committee for allowing me to testify today. Boys and Girls Clubs of the Twin Cities is ready and committed to partner with the state of Minnesota and the governor's office to elevate and bring attention to the incredible importance of school attendance through a public awareness campaign. For over two decades, Boys and Girls Clubs of the Twin Cities has worked in partnership with local schools to support student attendance through communications with young people and their families. We have found that focusing on the positive outcomes of attending school helps to build trust and strengthen that connection with students, caregivers, and the schools. We believe student success is directly connected to engagement in school and is strengthened when children and teens attend school regularly. We also believe that the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Twin Cities has a responsibility to expect that all club members attend school during the day before they come to the club after school. Through positive intervention strategies, school attendance expectations are shared at the start of the school year. And we provide ongoing messaging to those caregivers and the kids about the value and the importance of school attendance. Understanding why students are absent is critical to building a plan to support school attendance and academic success in school and in the club. We've demonstrated that supported services within the club can help solve attendance challenges by identifying and eliminating barriers, leading to an actionable solution in partnership with students, caregivers, and the schools. Our role is to provide a safe and welcoming environment where student learning continues during the school time, during after school time, school release days, and in the summer. And we are committed to being a key communicator and champion for the public awareness campaign, promoting messaging throughout our network. It is through our collective power and message sharing that we can transform attendance outcomes, as Representative Green has stated, for students across the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Shania Cole. I'm sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Green, and the committee for having me today. My name is Shania Cole, and I'm a 2024 graduate. I'm a student advocate. I struggled going to school my senior year. One, because transportation. I went to Minneapolis Public Schools. We did not have school buses for high schoolers or middle schoolers. They wanted the high schoolers and middle schoolers to catch the bus every single morning. Some students lived an hour by bus, which means school started at 8-something, which means students had to wake up at 6 a.m. just to hop on a bus just to get to school. I went to a school that wasn't the best neighborhood, which means we saw violence, we saw dangerous stuff. It wasn't safe for us to be walking early in the morning. So me, I didn't want to keep waking up just to go to school just to see something bad. I also went to a school where the neighborhood wasn't safe, like I said. So why would I want to go to a school where it wasn't safe? The teachers and everything made the school feel safe, but the outside didn't. I missed part of my senior year, and I almost did not graduate because I chose not to go to school. When I talked to my counselor or my social worker about, hey, could I get a cab to go to school? Because most kids that live closer was able to get cabs. They told me since I didn't live in Minneapolis, I couldn't get a cab to get to school. I had to live at least an hour away by bus. So I had to figure out how to get to school. Not being able to get to school, not being able to be heard by my school district or by my social worker or anything, it was hard. But luckily, me advocating for that Pacific High School, I got that Pacific High School to get school buses for the upcoming school year that I just graduated from. Now, being part of this and spreading my voice and being able to support a bill that will improve attendance, and we could talk more about why. It's not because of anything that the students are doing wrong. It's because students don't feel safe in the school or the neighborhood that the school's in or just the buses. Like, we can wake up one morning and it says the bus is a minute away, and turns out the bus is 10 minutes away and it's delayed. I wanted to say I supported this bill and thank you for having me.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have Ashley Hightower.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Ashley Hightower. I'm with Hennepin County Attorney's Office Be at School program. Again, we are Minnesota's largest educational neglect and truancy program, averaging 10,000 referrals per year. I'm here to advocate for the student attendance marketing campaign. Like Representative Green said, depending on which school district or county students reside in, information about attendance may look different or limited when we're all governed under the same statutes. As a state, we need to address the negative and harmful language currently being associated with attendance. This will diminish the stigma that attendance needs to have a punitive response to be corrected. I'd like to offer an example of how providing information is impactful. Be at School offers three tiers of support and interventions. At our first tier, Report 1, students and their families are provided with a letter of information about education laws, resources, and a virtual meeting. This year, 76% of our students referred at Report 1 have not received any further attendance reports. Our data shows that information, guidance, and early support are impactful. We need to work on educating schools, families, and the community about the importance of consistent attendance and resources available. Our communities are looking for early support. Another example, Be at School has implemented a family referral. Families don't have to wait for a school to report to us to receive services. This year alone, we have 122 families reaching out for support. We need this campaign not only for the students, the community level, but at the school and county level as well. We need to reset expectations, remind families and caregivers and the broader community that showing up to school every day matters. Attendance is more than just being physically present. It's about creating consistency, building relationships, and ensuring that students have access to resources and the support they need to thrive. We also know that chronic absenteeism is directly linked to the school-to-prison pipeline. When students miss school, they miss out on vital learning, mentorship, and support systems. The more disconnected they become, the more vulnerable they are to falling behind, disengaging, and becoming entangled in systems that limit their potential. By promoting school attendance, we are not simply focusing on numbers. We're making a direct investment in the future of our youth and breaking down systematic barriers that hold them back. Ultimately, education is the cornerstone of opportunity. When students are in school, they're learning, growing, and building the foundations for their futures. But when they're absent, they miss out on more than just class. They miss out on opportunities, relationships, and pathways to success. Let's ensure that every student has the chance to reach their fullest potential by making school attendance a community priority. I encourage you, on your next commute, to spot a billboard or listen to an advertisement that stresses or educates the importance of school attendance and names the consequences of absenteeism. You can report those back to Representative Green.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. With that, no one else has signed up to testify for this bill, so I'll bring it to member questions. Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Green. You also serve on education policy with me, and we had quite a robust discussion about this in education policy. And one of the things I took away from that is simply MDE isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And $250,000 is probably exactly what we need for the type of campaign that we're talking about. The fact that we have to create legislation for MDE to do this is disappointing. So I'm really glad that you're able to bring this to light. When we asked questions about what MDE is currently doing, they told me there was a couple people and that they're hoping to hire four more people. Okay. We know chronic absenteeism has been an issue for a long time. They have a FAQ thing from 2019 about chronic absenteeism, and yet still nothing until what we have to give them permission for it. If they're giving guidance to our schools, they should be doing something about it now. So thank you for bringing attention to it. I hope that this isn't new cost. I hope that MDE actually could just absorb this, because this is something they should have been doing already. Thank you for your constant work on this.
Thank you, Representative Mueller. Representative Raybauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Green, for bringing this forward. I think this is a very creative solution and one of many possible things that we could be doing to address absenteeism, and I really think this is a great idea. It makes me think back to those, I'm sure it's a much more modern version, but those commercials that would go, the more you know, and we all knew what they told us, and we did learn from them. So I'm excited about this, and I hope the bill goes through.
Thank you, Representative Bauer. Anybody else before I go to Representative Baikberg to close? Seeing none, Representative Baikberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Green. Have enjoyed working with you and just conversations on this, and happy to be a co-author on the bill. Ms. Hightower talked about, and she, you're up there, I can't see you. Just thank you to your work and advocacy for chronic absenteeism and truancy as well. And you talked about some of the things that Hennepin County is doing in a proactive manner to get kids at school, because we all know that if a kid is sitting in math class, then they're not getting in trouble or having issues outside of school. So just at a very basic level, anything that we can do to support getting kids at school is pretty common sense. Representative Green, you and I talked about some different ideas on different agencies, and you talked about Explore Minnesota and talked about the governor's office, which is great that there's some buy-in there. Representative Mueller talked about some of the department concerns, but can you just share for the committee kind of where you're at with Explore Minnesota and some of those conversations?
Representative Green.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Baikberg. I appreciate working with you. I've learned a lot from you and Representative Keeler and the roundtable discussion that was held at the county. So in terms of implementation, this is something that we're looking at. Like, what is the right solution here? I think Representative Mueller, you made some good points about how this could actually be absorbed, or do we, for a straight up marketing campaign that's statewide that doesn't put pressure on districts to deliver this, but to be public facing. We had talked about reaching out to Explore Minnesota. I'm looking forward to trying to have a conversation with them. That's on me though. I've reached out, but need to be a little bit more proactive in getting that, that conversation going. I think though that there's a lot of different players that can play into this. I was really excited to hear from the governor's office that they are encouraged and want to be part of this campaign. So where it falls, we are still working through solutions. But I do think we can be creative, and I don't know if this cost can be absorbed somewhere else and shifted. I think that's an interesting idea and something I'm absolutely willing to work through. I just want the work done. So that's where I'm at. So thanks for the question.
Thank you, Representative Baikberg.
Look forward to working with you more.
Thank you so much. Well, with that, we Representative Green will renew her motion. Final closing comments.
Thank you so much, Chair. I appreciate that. There's a lot of important work already being done in the space. We heard about some of the incredible things going on from, you know, just these two partner organizations, but there is a lot more that we need to do. And as a state, if we're going to move the needle, we need to really push forward. I believe that this bill really gives Minnesota an amazing opportunity to start building a vision for our students in this space so that we can really shift the tide, and our kids need us to do that. So, members, please consider this, and I hope it's part of the omnibus bill moving forward.
Thank you, Representative Green, and thank you to you and all the other folks that have been working on this. I think it's a really good goal to have, and we can try to figure something out. So, with that, House File 2043 laid over for possible inclusion in an education bill. With that, next up we have House File 1171. Representative Raywauer, welcome to your own committee. When you get settled, why don't you go ahead and move House File 1171 before the committee for a possible inclusion in an education finance bill. Okay. Go ahead and move your bill.
I move that HF 1171 be included in a possible omnibus bill.
Yes, Representative Raywauer moved House File 1171 before the committee for possible inclusion in an education bill. And with that, go ahead and proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair Joachim. HF 1171 is a bill to provide funding for MathCore. MathCore is a proven instructional support that improves student learning on foundational math skills. And I'd like to thank co-authors Chair Bennett, Chair Joachim, Representative Engen for co-authoring the bill. This bill asks for a one-time appropriation. It does not change the base, the ongoing funding in the base. So MathCore is an AmeriCorps-powered tutoring program that provides K through 8 students with up to 90 minutes of weekly tutoring in small groups. MathCore tutors get extensive training, and it is done in partnership with the schools. The tutoring program helps students acquire the foundational math skills needed to be successful. Foundational mathematics learning is as important as literacy, but it often doesn't get as much attention in the press. MathCore is one of the most cost-effective programs because students grasp the concepts more quickly. It requires the fewest hours to produce a month of extra learning as compared to other tutoring programs. And we know it's impactful through multiple randomized controlled trials. In addition, it's listed as an effective program by many external validators, including Stanford and Johns Hopkins University. As a teacher myself, I have had many years of experience in the classroom. With classroom sizes bulging today, too often we as a teacher need to move on in our lessons once most of our students are ready to move on. And unfortunately, that means some students haven't yet achieved mastery of certain skills. In mathematics in particular, it's extremely important for a student's ongoing success to master the concepts and skills at each level before moving on to the next level, because the skills build upon each other. That's what's so great about MathCore. As a science teacher, I also greatly appreciate that MathCore uses evidence-based assessment instruments and practices. And it also does regular fidelity checks to ensure effective delivery of instruction. So MathCore takes a student-centered approach to learning. Students get support with the skills they need to develop. Then they advance from skill to skill once they demonstrate competency. It aligns with extensive research and teacher knowledge relating to how math skills develop. This bill was heard in Education Policy Committee. We added an amendment that was brought forward by Chair Bennett to define evidence-based instruction, and this is now the bill as it is with that amendment. So I also have a testifier here today, David Parker from Serve Minnesota.
Thank you. Go ahead, David Parker, and state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, committee, my name is David Parker. I'm the Vice President of Research and Development at Serve Minnesota, and like any good researcher, I have some charts and graphs for you. You should have them in your packets, but I also have them projected here on the screen so we can follow along. I'm going to emphasize and reiterate some of the points that were just made, but I want to start with emphasizing the importance of math to our state. What you see in this quote is a quote from the Edunomics, Education, Economics, and Policy Center at Georgetown, and it's in reaction to the recent declines in the NAEP assessment scores. I'm sure many of us have seen that, have heard of that. There's a decline. But what they're emphasizing in terms of the importance to all of us in that is highlighting, in the latter part of the quote, an extensive body of research that connects math skills in eighth grade and around eighth grade, not just to future math learning, not just to things like high school graduation, which it does, not just to college entry, but to the economic health of the state. Math skills are an important imperative for all of us because it's a part of the engine that turns the economics in a state. And MathCore puts more students on a trajectory to contribute in that positive way. As was mentioned, the experts at Johns Hopkins, Stanford University, other national leaders have all taken a look at the MathCore research base. They're applying independent, external, rigorous standards to look at the research base of the program. And they are coming to the same conclusion across the board. It is one of the country's strongest tiered programs for educational intervention, period. And in many cases, it's earning additional badges to reflect the quality of the programming. That is important, but we all know that the most important thing is the impact on kids. So what this slide is showing is that differential impact of the program on the students. And long story short, it translates to about a 3-month or a semester gain. So when students are able to access math core, as shown in that blue line, they're growing faster, they're reaching higher levels relative to same students that aren't able to access math core. There's other data from our ongoing work to just show. There's a couple of slides here I'm just going to skim over for the sake of time, but these slides just show a dramatic increase in those skills. These are internal data showing that students are acquiring the math skills they need, those foundational skills that were just mentioned. It is not just an effective program moving students' skills up. It is also a cost-effective program. And in fact, it is the country's most cost-effective program. You can see on this figure, among just the programs that are reaching that high bar that our Stanfords or Johns Hopkins are saying, this is methodologically rigorous, this is a national leader in terms of evidence, it's the most cost-efficient way of doing that. The metric here is hours for a month of gained learning. And you can apply golf scoring to this, just so you know. You can look at that, and you're looking for the lowest bar. And so math core is showing it requires the least number of hours, actually by a pretty decent margin, relative to the next most efficient program. I'm just going to wrap up my remarks, bringing it back to the people involved. The tutors, these are the adults who are giving time in their own community to give back to their local schools and their local kids. They're, of course, through the nature of the program, having a meaningful experience serving their communities. But they are also, in many cases, going on to a career in education. In many cases, locally in that same school, where we know it's difficult to find math educators. Students, in addition to those outcomes that they're realizing in terms of math skills, are also becoming more confident in their math skills. And that's what's shown on the left side. We've probably all heard, maybe some of us have said, you know, I'm just not a math person. We don't want to hear that anymore. As a math educator, we know that that's not helping. And what is happening at Math Core is that we're changing that kind of okay framing of math into one where kids are having the skills and the confidence to say, I would like to take more math. I want to do more in math. Right on. I agree. And when they do that, it opens up more doors for their future math learning, for the courses they can take in high school and beyond, and ultimately accessing careers that leverage math that's not only beneficial for the individual, but also, as I mentioned at the very beginning, for the state's economic health. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. With that, I don't think there's anyone else signed up, so we'll go to member questions at the table. Representative Quam, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When you're doing all this analysis, are you also looking at the other things such as teaming, where you have teachers for certain subjects spend 2 years with students that have difficulty in that subject so that that relationship allows them to have better? I mean, what other things other than this tutoring, because that alone I don't think is the most effective, and I've seen good things in different schools. So what kind of other activities you're looking at to combine with this?
Go ahead. Whoever wants to answer that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Quam. This bill doesn't look at those other combinations. I really, truly hope that our school districts would be doing that work and thinking about what are the different ways they can group kids or possibly team teach, or like you said, follow students from more than one grade level. I think those are all great ideas. This bill specifically allows for us to get this high return on investment because the teachers don't have that time or ability to meet with students one-on-one, one-on-two, or one-on-three, which the math core tutors do get to do. And that's really how they help them reach that foundational skill so that they can catch up and move on with the rest of the students. And so I hope that this would be an addition to some of those other best practices.
Representative Quam, follow up.
Madam Chair, I just, we've got solutions and onesies here and there. I think combining some of these ideas together may be more sustainable and have a greater achievement. And that's why I brought up the question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Klum. I've got Representative Lawrence.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Just a couple questions as far as how many districts in the state of Minnesota are being served, how many schools, how many students? What are the results that we see or will see?
Oh, okay. Representative, did you want to answer, or do you want that your testifier too?
My testifier will.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Representative and Madam Chair. We're like, we have each half of this answer because we checked our numbers just recently. So in terms of the number of districts, it's around 150. The number of tutors, around 375. And the number of students, I could get you a more precise estimate, but it's several thousand.
Thank you, Representative Lawrence. Follow up.
No, I'll just follow up by saying I know from my school districts that have received those services, they speak very highly of your service. And as a representative, I just want to look at the facts of who's actually being served, what the results are, you know, seeing what the results are of the program that's being implemented. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Clardy.
Thank you, Representative Ray Rauer, for bringing this forward. Highly, highly effective program. I used to supervise it in schools, so I know the effects. I also understand, like, the data that's available for teachers or to understand the growth patterns. So thank you. This is a program I'm 100% behind.
Thank you, Representative Clardy. Representative Ream.
Thank you, Chair Youakim, and thank you, Representative Ray Rauer, for bringing this bill forward. We hear a lot about how girls start out doing well in math, and then as they get older, they don't continue their math studies. I'm wondering, is there anything you're doing with this program that helps encourage girls study math more?
Go ahead.
Representative, thanks for the question. In committee, the program results that I showed are for all students. So by definition, 50% of who's contributing to those really strong outcomes are roughly the girls. We are not specifically targeting programming for the girls. It's really focused on those foundational skills that all students need. But we are aware of that, and we are always innovating and looking for additional ways to kind of reach each student where they're at.
Thank you. I don't have anybody else on this. I'll go to Representative Bennett for closing.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Ray Rauer, good bill. As you said, I'm a co-author, and I have a lot of background with, Reading Core more, but Math Core also, when I taught first grade for many years. Reading Core came into our school. It's a great program. You know, teachers would identify those students who fit in that little bit lower threshold that they just need that little bit of bump up to get those basic skills, as you say, and the same with math. And it was very successful. And I love this program because I know it works. And it's very data-driven. Matter of fact, I give Reading Core and Math Core an A+ in their evidence-based instruction. It's data-driven, it's solution-based, it's strategies that are measured for interventions and measured for success. And I think it's well worth supporting this kind of thing. This is the type of thing we should be supporting and multiplying through our state. And I just want to thank you also for accepting my amendment on adding a definition, and I'd like to read that if I could, for what is evidence-based? What does that mean? Because when we just throw that word out, it means many different things to many people. And we wanted to make sure we targeted what are we talking about here. Because this is what Reading Core and Math Core is. For purposes of this subdivision, evidence-based means the instruction or curriculum is based on reliable, trustworthy, and valid evidence and has demonstrated a record of success in increasing student competency and proficiency in mathematics and numeracy. And that's what Math Core does. Reading Core does it in the area of reading, so I appreciate this bill. It's something we should replicate as much as we can throughout the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. With that, Representative Ray Rauer, closing comments.
Thank you so much, Chair Youakim. I would just add that student confidence increases and sense of belonging increases After Math Core tutoring, students are much more likely to say yes to this statement. I know if there is a hard math program, I can figure it out if I work at it. And that is awesome. So I urge your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ray Rauer. Representative Ray Rauer renews her motion that House File 1171 be laid over for possible inclusion in an education bill. And with that, members, we're to our final bill with Representative Hill. Representative Hill, when you get settled, go ahead and move House File 2741 before the committee for possible inclusion in an education finance bill. Got it. Representative Hill, do you want to move your bill?
Yes, I'd like to move House File 2741. We also brought an amendment today, Chair Ewing.
Would you like to move your amendment and explain it, please?
Yes, I'd like to move the A1 amendment.
Which one was that?
A1.
A1?
That's correct.
Representative Hill moves the A1 amendment before the committee. Do you want to describe it, or should we just put it on so you talk about the bill as...
We're going to describe it in the...
Okay, so members, we're just going to put the bill in the shape that the author would like. So all those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The A1 amendment is adopted. Representative Hill, go ahead.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chair Joachim, Chair Krisha, fellow members. House File 2741 is an agency operations bill. And it's in place here to ensure that Pelsby can continue to license and support Minnesota teachers.
Representative Hill, can you pull that a little closer to you?
Yes, sorry about that. First of all, this bill provides funding to keep Pelsby fully staffed, which will allow for the timely processing of educator licenses. Secondly, this bill provides support for the licensure via portfolio pathway, which is an alternative pathway to licensure used by teachers across the state of Minnesota. Finally, I want to highlight that this bill also provides funding for the Heritage Language Pathway, making sure that students have access to educators who can support their language and cultural knowledge. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Yelena Bailey, the Director of Pelsby.
Dr. Bailey, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Joachim, members. My name is Dr. Yelena Bailey. I'm the Executive Director of the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board, otherwise known as Pelsby. I'd like to thank Representative Hill for authoring this bill, and I'd also like to thank Representative Bennett for reaching out to share her feedback to get this into shape as well. As Representative Hill shared, this is largely an operational bill, which helps us ensure we can continue processing and issuing teaching licenses in a timely manner. It also supports two key pathways, the licensure, the Heritage Language Educator Pathway Program, and the licensure via portfolio pathway. Because this is operational, I'd just like to briefly provide some context of Pelsby's work. And so you'll see that up on the slide. Pelsby is the agency responsible for licensing 110,000 teachers in the state of Minnesota, which means we're issuing tens of thousands of licenses each year. We also do quite a bit of policy work, revising and updating teacher licensure standards. We oversee nearly 700 teacher licensure programs across the state of Minnesota. We do work ensuring the teachers have the appropriate licenses to teach in their assignments across the 550 districts and charter schools. And last year, we administered nearly $17 million in grant funding to support teachers and teacher candidates. I'm going to provide a very brief walkthrough of the bill as amended, and then I'm happy to answer any questions members may have. So sections 1 through 3 simply move the voluntary paraprofessional credential to MDE, and this is in alignment with their current work and jurisdiction over non-licensed school staff, whereas Pelsby is a board with jurisdiction over licensed teachers. Section 4 removes a reference to outdated INTAS standards, which are the standards, the national standards for the teaching profession, in favor of the current standards, and then removes some obsolete reporting language. Section 5 is also just technical cleanup to remove some outdated, redundant language. Section 6 aligns the alternative teacher preparation grant reporting requirement with when we actually administer the grant. Section 7 provides one-time IT funding and one ongoing FTE to the Board of School Administrators, otherwise known as BOSA. And this is in keeping with a law that was passed by you all in 2018, which passed the jurisdiction to process administrator licenses to BOSA. But unfortunately, until my colleague Karen Schwab and I were appointed as executive directors, this went unnoticed, and so we are seeking to rectify that by giving them the staff to be able to
issue their own licenses as experts in that area. The final section of this bill deals with two key pathways to licensure, and I wanted to provide just some context and some data up on the screen. So in Minnesota, there's several ways you can obtain a full professional license. One is obviously through teacher preparation, which includes alternative teacher preparation providers in the state. We also have licensure via portfolio, which supports the heritage language educator pathway as well. And then we have the experience pathway, and finally teacher residencies and apprenticeships. And you'll see some data in the table on the right that shows two of those pathways that are the more experience-based pathways, the portfolio and the tier two to tier three experience pathway. You'll notice that as of this year, there's a drastic increase in the number of teachers using licensure via portfolio, which is why we're seeking ongoing funding to continue to do the work of keeping that pathway open. This map also shows, as of October 2023, all of the individuals who've used our online platform, ProServa, which we use for our licensure via portfolio, and you can see that this is of interest and use by teachers across the state. So we've heard from districts from Greater Minnesota and in the metro that this has been a key pathway they're using to help teachers add licenses or get initial licenses in shortage areas. So the final section does a couple of key things. It increases operations funds to help ensure we can remain fully staffed. It funds portfolio review because we need to have experts in the licensure area review these portfolios. It funds the Heritage Language Pathway Program, which I'm very proud to say Minnesota licensed the very first Karen language teacher in the nation. It also funds portfolio cohorts, so we're right now set next year to work with a couple of districts across the state, getting Tier 1 teachers licensed through portfolio in some shortage areas. And then finally, it does fund the ongoing online platform, ProServa, which I think you'll hear from their CEO later. The last thing I'll mention is that HF 2741 does not include appropriations for the Preparation Pathways grant, because that work has largely been taken on by the staff mentioned in Section 8, so Pelsby recommends the reallocation of those funds. So that concludes the brief overview of this operations bill. I'm happy to answer questions later.
Thank you, Dr. Bailey. I think we have next up, we have a few people that are remote. We have Laurel Weber. Webster, sorry, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Laurel Webster, and I'm an English teacher at Dawson Boyd High School. I'm here to testify in favor of the licensure via portfolio program. That is how I recently obtained my Tier 3 license in Communication Arts and Literature for grades 5 through 12. I was approved for my Tier 3 license in November of 2024. And just to give you a bit of background, I am a mature educator, meaning I went back to school for my Master's of Education through SMSU in the fall of 2020. And didn't know exactly what I wanted to teach, but my advisor for my studies suggested that I pursue English. She thought I would be a fantastic English teacher. In my school district, I worked there for about 12 years, working in the office as the administrative assistant to the principal. And I knew that there was a way to become a teacher and a Tier 1 license, and I thought that would be good for me, and I could decide what I wanted to teach before making that huge commitment. So I graduated and then was hired by my district to teach English for grades 9 and 10, and then I pursued the licensure via portfolio program. And the great thing about the program is that if there is gaps in your background or education or experience, they have on the ProServa platform areas where you can learn the content and then provide your evidence through their studies, through their courses, which I did for several. One in particular would be the Racial Consciousness in Minnesota, which explores the history and social perspectives of people of color in Minnesota. And I was able through that section to attend workshops specifically put on by Native American tribes and communities, where I have gained access to free resources written by Native American authors and gone to conferences. And I'm excited. I have a field trip coming up for my ninth graders to go to a book talk written with the author Anton Truer, and we're going to Fort Snelling. So it's opened up opportunities for me, for my students, given me access to incredible literature written by Minnesotans, and it has given me a way to stay in the school district where my children are, and able to pursue a career that is more financially freeing for me. And so I would highly recommend that this program continue, especially since we have a teacher shortage, and it is great for someone, a single mom like me, to be able to obtain my Tier 3 license. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for becoming a teacher. With that, we have another remote testifier, and if people could try to keep to about 2 minutes so we can get through the testimony and still have time for discussion, that would be great. We've got Virginia Hansen. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is Virginia Hansen, and I am a voluntary pre-kindergarten teacher in District 191. This is my 25th year as an early childhood educator and my 6th year as a VBK teacher. In 2020, I began a master's in education program with the intention of getting my initial teaching license. However, due to multiple reasons, I was unable to complete the student teaching requirement and needed an alternative route, hence the portfolio pathway. Last summer, with the support from staff at Pelsby and from ProServa, I completed the portfolio process and was awarded a birth through third grade teaching license. The portfolio pathway enabled me to get the license without jeopardizing my current VBK position or impoverishing my family. Although my experience and needs are unique to me, I am not the only seasoned teacher facing multiple barriers to traditional routes to licensure. It is my understanding that since last year's state legislation regarding unlicensed teachers, there has been an increase in individuals needing to pursue this pathway. And in my district alone, we have several VBK teachers who are considering the portfolio option and one who plans to apply within the year. Additionally, the state and federal education funding and how it evolves, it seems likely that there will be an even greater increase in the amount of passionate, experienced, and knowledgeable unlicensed educators, specifically in early childhood, seeking to continue their teaching careers, but finding that they not only need a teaching license, but an alternative route to prove their knowledge and skill. The portfolio process is daunting. It is not an easy route. Providing supportive staff at Pelsby to those seeking this pathway process is really imperative to retaining and recruiting skilled teachers who need an alternative route to licensure. The portfolio pathway is not only a benefit for individuals and schools, but ultimately supports all Minnesota kids and deserves to be fully funded. I think I kept it under 2 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have Nuvia Maldonado. Please state your name for the record better than I did and proceed. This testifier is remote. Might just take a sec. Okay, we can come back to that one if we need to. Next up on remote, last remote testifier, Dr. Gift Siloco. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Gift Siloco. Good afternoon, members of the House Education Finance Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify regarding HF 2741. My name is Dr. Gift Siloco. I am a board member of the Professional Educator Licensing and Standard Board, otherwise known as PELSD. I am also a licensed special education teacher with over 9 years' experience. PELSD is responsible for licensing 110,000 teachers in Minnesota, establishing the state standards required to be licensed teacher, and overseeing the state nearly 700 teacher licensure programs. Our board's mission is to ensure that all Minnesota students have high quality educators in their schools. HF 2741 provides vital funding to implement the vision ensuring Pelsby remains fully staffed and can process licenses on time. It also supports essential pathway to licensure, such as licensure via portfolio and the heritage language educator pathway. In addition to being a Pelsby board member, I am also a teacher who obtained professional licensure through the portfolio process. At this point, let me tell you a little bit about me. I came to this country and I wanted to be a teacher. Things happened, my family came, I was unable to complete it until I found out that I can use the portfolio program. Now, I am not very tech savvy, but in my experience, it was easy to use the portfolio program. It was clear what I needed to do, and I was able to upload my artifacts from classes I had taken. The clarity it provided me removed any anxieties I had about what I needed to do and how to do it. It was structured enough to guide me through my work, but flexible enough to allow me to upload the necessary items that made sense to me and my academic path. I am a strong advocate for the portfolio program and hope for it to continue to be funded. In fact, since I completed my portfolio, I have received several emails from teachers in my district asking for the portfolio program. It is vital that we continue to invest in education. I ask for your support in this work. Thank you, Representative Hill, for believing in educators and authoring this bill. I sincerely hope that the rest of the committee will join you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your testimony and your service on the board. With that, we'll try to go back to Nuvia Maldonado.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
please. I'm so sorry. Apologies.
Okay. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Nuvia Maldonado Johnson. I am happy to be here. I am proud to be part of the United States, a nation built on hard work and opportunity and diversity. I am honored to be part of the World Language Heritage Cohort, a program that has enriched my growth and empowered me to uplift future generations. As a Spanish and ESL teacher, I witnessed my students' challenges and dreams, reaffirming the vital role of heritage language education. Language shapes identity, builds confidence, and empowers lives. Your support for programs like this is an investment in the future, when people embrace their identity and have opportunities to give back, they empower society. This pride builds confidence, reducing social, economical, and health challenges. A strong sense of self creates a stronger community. Please don't overlook the small corners where we live. We're here, contributing and ready to serve. I am grateful to all who believe in individuals like me and programs that fosters our growth. Your belief in us is not in vain. I am committed. I urge you to continue supporting these projects to empower individuals, provide opportunities for people to dream, achieve, and create hope for future generations. The greatness of the United States lies in its people. Our diversity, strength, and unbreakable spirit. We must not let this opportunity pass. We deserve to be seen, heard, and empowered. Together, let's create a future where every dream can thrive and every child can dream. Thank you much for your time.
Thank you so much for your time. With that, we have two more testifiers left. We have Dr. Akilah Roberson and then Josh Thieleman. If you want to both come up, go ahead and state your name for the record. You're way ahead of me. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
I was trying to be on time. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Zawuau, assalamu alaikum, and how are the children? I am Dr. Akilah Roberson, Policy Director at Education Evolving, an organization that promotes transformational student-centered Designs for Learning. Thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of House File 2741. You may recall that members of the Education Evolving Team requested your support in 2023 in establishing the Heritage Language Licensure Pathway with PELSBY. Through your bipartisan support, you made it possible. Thank you. Nearly 20% of Minnesotan students speak a language other than English at home, and studying home language has a myriad of benefits in terms of academic achievement, addressing chronic absenteeism, and other outcomes as detailed in your handout. We want to share a few points for your consideration. Firstly, 47 educators representing 9 languages comprised the first cohort last spring. These educators hailed from 18 school districts across the state, and over 40% of the cohort have had their portfolios approved for licensure. Secondly, this pathway helps to place teachers in classrooms who reflect the diverse student populace being served. And finally, PELSBY just opened applications for the second cohort and received 64 applicants. The demand continues and the beat goes on. In 2023, the legislature appropriated $408,000 for this pathway. Now, just a little back of the envelope math. With over 100 highly qualified teachers who are participating in this pathway, this comes out to only a few thousand dollars per licensed educator. In a time when our state needs to be thinking about doing more with less, this pathway is a wonderful resource. Mayor Melvin Carter once shared that we must go beyond the loudest voices, the people already in the room, and our own privilege to listen and learn from all of our neighbors, families, and children. Let us continue to listen and learn. I urge you, support House File 2741. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roberson. Finally, go ahead, please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Josh Thelman. Thank you, Chair Youakim, Chair Krisha, members of the committee. I'm a former educator from right here in Minnesota and the founder of ProServa, the platform used by PELSBY to support all of licensure via portfolio in Minnesota. I'm here in strong support of the board's requests, not only to meet rising demand, but to improve passing rates and hopefully expand access to more aspiring teachers. This being spring break for a lot of our teachers, I'm honored to share some of their stories. Stories we get to hear every day from individuals all across the state, like Caleb from Pine County. Caleb writes, "Thank you. I have worked a variety of jobs throughout my past and get to share these experiences with my students, which has been an overall great experience. I'm trying to balance being a father of 4 boys and maintaining my career. I have little flexibility, which is why I'm pursuing portfolio. Now it's been a few years, I feel comfortable moving forward. Thank you." Or Sarah, a Minnesota native currently teaching in Madrid, Spain, who recently earned their license through portfolio and then returned to Minnesota will be able to teach in our schools. Or finally, Randy, superintendent up in Crookston, who, when speaking on a webinar with over 30 superintendents statewide, shared how this option is vital for rural communities where transportation can be a barrier. Dr. Bailey already highlighted the skyrocketing demand and success we're seeing. In addition to the already 430 submissions we've seen, there are an additional 330 teachers who have begun uploading evidence that have not yet submitted. The state has built something that works and works well. I urge your support of House File 2741 and this critical investment in Minnesota's educator workforce. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Thank everyone for their testimony today. And with that, members, we'll move to the table for questions. Representative Bakeford? Sorry.
It's all good, Madam Chair. Dr. Bailey is, you're fine. You don't have to move up. I don't have a question for you. Really just to say thank you. I was able to jump on a Zoom call yesterday and really want to thank you for your collaboration with the different institutions that have some pretty significant concerns about some of the requirements from PELSBY and just appreciate how you are assisting them in navigating those requirements, the changing dynamics, and just being clear in the different areas that they're needing. So obviously, you know, we're all here to support teacher prep, but just really appreciate you working collaboratively with those groups that have deeply held beliefs that are very important to them and their institutions, and appreciate your support to those institutions.
Thank you, Representative Bakeberg. Representative Sensenmura. Sorry, I'm trying to see where everybody is.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Hill, for bringing this bill. Just want to say two things. You know, one, it's just really good to hear positive feedback about the portfolio process. I know many of us have only heard, you know, about some of the challenges and struggles over the years. So hearing, you know, multiple people speak about positive experiences going through that at a time where we have critical teacher shortages, just really appreciate that. And then want to just uplift the work of the Heritage Language Program. I've heard really good things from the teachers that have participated in that program. And I know in the district that I represent, Minneapolis, we really cannot get these teachers fast enough. There is huge demand in the district for dual language programs, for programs that honor students' home languages, you know, and especially the things like Korean, places where we actually have not had any teachers with those languages before. So thank you all for that work. I think it's a really good investment that we should keep supporting.
Thank you, Representative Sensenmura. Anyone else before I go to the author to close? Representative Crescia, though?
Okay.
All right, got it. Representative Hill, go ahead and close.
Oh, thank you, Chair Joachim and members. I failed to do one thing I said I would do earlier, which is explain the A1 amendment. Representative Bakeberg's point, there is a large number of dance partners when it comes to putting a Pelsby bill together. And I, too, want to echo his comment, and thanks to Dr. Bailey for being willing and ready to connect with those partners. And so the A1 addressed some concerns that were brought to us at our first stop in Education Policy Committee, and really want to commend Dr. Bailey for her ongoing work with, again, a large number of partners that went into this work. Two things I'm proud of in this bill is that it's going to continue to impact the teacher shortage. We have a teacher shortage here in Minnesota and here in the United States of America. And we are attempting to move forward with these pathways. I really want to commend our testifiers, and I'm so proud of the work and the distance we have traveled in making the portfolio process manageable and accessible for folks across the state of Minnesota and those who are hoping to teach in Minnesota from great distances, like we heard about our friend in Spain who joined us in the Education Policy Committee. So thank you for the opportunity to present the bill. And it's been a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hill. With that, Representative Hill renews his motion that House File 2741 be laid over for, as amended. Thank you. House File, I'll end up writing that in my notes and I forgot. House File 2741 be laid over as amended for possible inclusion in an education finance bill. With that, members, we have come to the end of our agenda and thought we'd give a bit of a preview for you all for next week. So, Chair Crescia.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So just following the traditional norms, the goal would be to have a bill early in the week posted and then to mark up and walk through. I would have the chair on Tuesday and Chair Joachim would have it on Thursday. So that is the goal that's out in front of us now.
Wonderful. With that, members, we are adjourned.